Well, just recently I finished a book I wanted to read for a long time. It's Dr. Alistair McGrath's book called Christianity's Dangerous Idea. And it's a very interesting, very compellingly written history of the Protestant movement and also a study of some central Protestant ideas. McGrath is a professor at Oxford and one of the most prolific authors in the Protestant scene today. He rehearses a number of major themes, so justification by grace through faith in Luther, predestination in Calvin, the primacy of the Word of God in most Protestant churches. But the issue that intrigued me the most, and the one that McGrath returns to almost obsessively throughout the book, is the issue of authority. Who finally has the authority to interpret the Word of God? The problem arose, of course, from Luther's sense of the priesthood of all believers. Luther said that the Word of God does not belong to an ecclesiastical elite, but rather every baptized person has the right to read the Bible according to his or her lights. Luther felt that the plain sense of the Bible would be obvious to everybody, so he gave it to the whole church to read. McGrath is honest enough to admit that even within Luther's lifetime, things proved a lot more complicated. There were wild disagreements about church state, about the Eucharist, about sacraments, about all sorts of things. And even within Luther's lifetime, major Protestant denominations begin to emerge. So it's obvious the plain sense was not quite so plain. There was a lot of disagreement that emerged. What I find also intriguing was that McGrath admits all this, and he furthermore sees that it's a problem in light of Jesus' great prayer that all his disciples, all his followers, might be one. He knows this divisiveness is a problem. What he does, though, is he says, we don't need and we can't have some absolute authority. What we have to rely on is a gradual consensus that builds up among the teachers and preachers and congregations within the Protestant movement. And here he sees that what many people have seen, the link between a Protestant sensibility and a democratic sensibility. So we too say, politically, there's no one absolute authority, but we gradually build up a political consensus. Okay, as I read that argument, followed it, even admired it, I have to confess that my Catholic soul balked. Somehow it seems to me we do need a voice, finally, that can determine for us the truth of things when there is this tremendous disagreement. If I might press that political analogy that McGrath uses, who would ever think that 30,000 political parties in one parliament would be a functional system? But there are 30,000, at least, Protestant denominations around the world. How could that possibly be the ground for an effective consensus? In light of all that, I come back to one of my great theological heroes, John Henry Newman, who, of course, had begun life as an Anglican and then became Catholic. Here's one of the main reasons Newman became a Catholic. Like McGrath, he acknowledged this lively conversation among the theologians, among the preachers. He acknowledged the development of doctrine. He saw all that. But then he said, at the end of the day, there has to be a living voice that can determine the truth of things when the church is divided about essential matters. What occurs to me is that the best analogy for Newman's idea would be the analogy of an umpire or referee. Anyone that plays a game seriously knows that you like the umpire. Even though we boo the umpire when they come out, we like the umpire or the referee if we're serious about the game. Because without an umpire, without a living voice, or in the case of the referee, his shrill whistle, without that, the game will soon devolve into bickering. If you love the game and you want it to go on, you reverence the fact that there is a voice, a clear voice, a living voice, that can determine fair or foul, right or wrong, ball or strike. And I think that's the best analogy now for the authority of the church, as Newman saw it. Not oppressive, not domineering, but a kind of refereeing authority that allows the conversation to move forward in a more creative way. It seems to me, as I read through McGrath's book and admired it very much and appreciated it, that is the great question. It was the great question in the 16th century, and it remains to this day, I think, in the Protestant-Catholic dialogue, the question. Newman, when he was still an Anglican, thought that the fathers, the consensus among the church fathers, so Chrysostom and Jerome and Augustine, the great early figures, would suffice as an authoritative voice. But what struck him was the fathers, whom he deeply admired, but they're dead. They're not a living voice, not a voice that can directly address the issues of the day. We can sort through their works and do the best we can to figure out how to move forward today, but someone who's on the scene, who's hearing what's going on, and whose living voice can set the tone, Newman saw that as indispensable. Now, I should say, there's a place where the referee and umpire analogy breaks down. Because, indeed, umpires and referees can be wrong. You know, we can say, look at that replay, clearly that was a bad call. We also have got to bring in what Newman and the whole Catholic tradition sees, which is a guarantee of the Holy Spirit. Newman said, if God saw fit to reveal saving truth to the church, he would also see fit to give that church an authoritative voice that could interpret it in a definitive way. Otherwise, what's the value of it? So God's revealed saving truth, but there's such disagreement about it, it doesn't have an effective power. So we would say that there's a guarantee of the Holy Spirit. For example, that when the Pope and the bishops together speak in a magisterial way, that they'll be preserved from error. So that's where the umpire and referee analogy breaks down. There's also the guidance of the Holy Spirit. See, where the Protestant view is that the Holy Spirit would dwell within each individual.
Right.
So each individual could read the book according to his or her lights. But again, the problem is there's such radical and rampant disagreement. How could it be the case if there's such dramatic disagreement across the board? Through the official structures and channels of the church, we hold that this interpretive authority comes. But again, keep in mind, a referee is not playing the game. The referee isn't the whole game. A mistake you can make is to become too referee-focused. The game is about the play. It's about the team. It's about shooting the basket. It's about playing good defense. The referee intervenes from time to time. And Newman saw that as the appropriate role of the church's authority, not to be brooding over the conversation of the church's life, but to be intervening when it had to, when the play had become disrupted. So I think a good liberal critique might be, you can over-referee the game. There can be too much intervention by the church's authority. It ought to back off, intervening only when it has to. And Newman saw that very clearly in the 19th century.